chapter 13, amen. I'm going to start in verse 25. While you're finding that, amen, give honor to, amen, Pastor Dansby, getting to meet him today and his lovely wife. Amen. She will forever be remembered. Amen. And and then Bishop Frost, man, so good to see our bishop. Amen. Good to see him and honored. Amen. To hear wisdom come out of our elders. We need our elders. Amen. So thankful for men and women of God that have dug it out. Amen. And set the example and put the bar high for the next generation. Bless them. Amen. And to your great pastor and pastor's wife, Brother Sister Copeland. Amen. What a dynamic team. Amen. What a great, amen, privilege. You've been privileged with these great people of God to be your pastor and pastor's wife. Amen. 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 Numbers chapter 13 and verse 12. They returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they, chapter 13, verse 25, rather. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they sent and went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel and to the wilderness Paran to Kadesh and brought back word unto them and to the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us. And surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that deal, or dwell rather, in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we'll be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. I want to preach to us tonight on a peculiar topic, but hey man, grasshoppers don't eat grapes. Grasshoppers don't eat grapes. Put your Bibles down and help me pray. God, we love you tonight. God, we honor and adore you here in this house. Thank you, God, for every guest, every visitor, every saint of God alike. Thank you, God, for every member that's under the sound of my voice that's here. I pray, God, you speak to us. Pray, God, you open our minds, open our hearts. Let us hear and receive your word tonight. God, you know exactly, God, where we're at. You know, God, every situation. You know every struggle, every tribulation that we're going through right now. I pray, God, you reach to us. God, get exactly where we're living tonight. Let this word penetrate our world, I pray. Minister to your church. Uplift your body. I pray, God, you open my mouth. Let me be an open conduit that can flow from heaven. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, can we give God another hand clap of praise? Come on, let's thank him for his word right now. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. The Bible tells us, we can find throughout Scripture, amen, that God had promised, amen, his people that he was going to give them a great and a bountiful blessing. He told them about the land. Amen. It was prophesied to Abraham and that his seed shall be, amen, blessed. And then we understand that 4 years transpire, 400 years of bondage and imprisonment, and it still, amen, would seem like, where is God, amen, the God that promised, amen, Abraham, Isaac, and even Jacob? Where is this land that we've heard about?
Where is this land that we have dreamed about? And we've told, amen, generations after generation. We've heard the old great head mothers and grandfathers, amen, tell the stories, amen, vividly about how God promised it unto them. But when are we going to see, amen, the promise that God has for us? We can see, amen, as they began to look, and they can, amen, understand that everyone around them seems to be blessed. Lands began to be divided amongst, amen, the heathen nations. And there you can see the Pezerites and Jebusites and Hivites, and you can the Amorites and everybody else but the children of God seemed to have the land that God said they would possess. And yet we see, amen, that God is still working on their behalf, even though they have no clue of what's going on right here in this passage. But we see, amen, that through, amen, a glimpse of hope, a glimpse of a small light in the darkness, the Bible tells us, amen, that they began to depart from Egypt. And they're on their way to, amen, the promised land. And just in a few days' journey, they get to the borders of the Canaan land. This land that had been told to them over and over that one day they shall possess it. This land that was given to them in their foresight and their forethought, amen, knowing that one day we might see the promises of the Lord. And now they were really on their journey, and they maybe feel like that it's possible we're closer now than we ever have been before. Even though the bondage has taken place, even though, amen, they've been through imprisonment, even though they've been through the Nile rivers of, amen, the firstborn child's being destroyed, even though they've been and lived through the taskmaster, and even though they've lived through the garlics and the links, and they lived through, amen, slave mentalities and slave environments. But now they're as close as they've ever been before. The Bible says that they send out 10 spies, amen, to investigate and to spy out the land to see if they were going to be able to conquer it and see if they were going to be able to have, amen, a victory, amen, to go in and possess the promised land that God had given them. I want to stop here tonight, amen, on the onset of this message and tell us that there are promised lands, amen, that God has, amen, spoken into our lives. There are promised lands, amen, that have been foretold. There are words, amen, that have been given. There are prophetic meanings, amen, to them. But every time I see in scripture that God, amen, gave them, amen, a piece of ground or property, they always have to fight for it. Everything they had in the word of God when it came to, amen, property or even monetary values, they were not just handed that and they went on to live happily ever after. No, but the Bible, amen, gives us instruction, and it goes, amen, into the scriptures, and we can see that every piece of ground that they possessed, everything that they ever had, they had to dig it out. They had to war after. They had to, amen, pick up a shield and a sword, and they had to go after the promises of God. I want to preach to someone here tonight that I do believe that God has a promise on your life. I do believe that God has a promise in your, amen, purpose and your destiny for your future. But every time, amen, just like the word of God, amen, the Bible, amen, we understand it's God the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you have to fight for, amen, gain a property in the word of God, you're going to have to fight for some things in 2016. Just, amen, like the word of God, they had to possess it. They had to conquer it. They had to, amen, bow up in the Holy Ghost, if you will. And they had to march in and be victorious. I want someone here to know tonight, there are things you may get, amen, in the spirit of God. There may be things you get in an altar call, but there are some things you've got to war after. There are some things the apostolic church, amen, has to, amen, put on your combat boots and march into the enemy's camp, amen, and come back victorious. There are things you may get in a prayer meeting. There are things you may get in tonight's service, but before it's all over, you got to go back into the world tomorrow morning. But you're not not going, amen, by yourself, and you're not going defeated, but you've got to go into the world and possess it. You've got to go into the promised land and say, I am going to be victorious. I'm not going to let the enemy defeat me. You've got to get it in your mind before we ever leave this church service tonight that when I get up tomorrow morning, I'm still warring after my family. I'm still warring after my children. I'm still warring after my... It ain't just something we get on a hype session on a Sunday night, but we got to become a warrior. We got to become someone that believes that God, his word's going to come to pass in our life. Somebody clap their hands all over this house. So we can understand, amen, the prophetic word, there was going to be land, amen, that they were going to conquer. There was going to be wells they didn't have to dig. There was going to be houses they didn't have to build. There was going to be property, amen, that they were going to gain. But they would have to conquer, amen, the adversary first. And there was, amen, of the 10 spies, as we understand, amen, 8 of them that walked into the promised land. And they look at all the environment, and they look at all, amen, the, amen, beautiful plains. We understand, even to this day, they say it's a beautiful place, amen, to plant anything. It's going to grow there. Everything there seemed, as far as harvest and as far as cattle and as far as, amen, supplementing a life supply, everything seemed great there. But then these 8 men that were in, amen, spying out the land of Canaan, they look and they say, the land's great. Amen. The harvest field looks good. The cattle are all, amen, nice and fluffy. Everything looks perfect. But they came back and said, the giants are in the land. And there are men and that are there that will be our, amen, foe. And we will be destroyed by them. And in, amen, their eyes were like grasshoppers. And they began to proclaim, as they go back to the people, they do not deny, amen, the benefits that are in the Canaanite land. They do not deny the harvest field that is bountiful. They do not deny all the land that flowed with milk and honey, because they concur that that was the truth. But they got their eyes so focused, amen, off the main thing, and they got their eyes focused on the giants. And instead of them thinking about, you got to understand why they've been in Egypt, they've been eating garlics and leeks, nothing sweet to the taste, amen, but the moment they walk into the promised land, the land's flowing with milk and with honey. And yet the Bible says when they come back, they're willing to still live off of manna, and they're still willing to live off of memories of Egypt, and they're not willing to possess the promised land because they got their minds on the giants instead of their minds off the harvest. I will tell us tonight, as long as you keep your mind on the giants, you will be defeated. As long as you keep your mind, amen, on your adversary, you will be, amen, destroyed. But the moment you get your mind on the harvest, and the moment you get your mind on the harvest field, because the Bible says, God said the harvest is white and it's ready to be plucked. I'm here to tell someone tonight, it's time to get your mind off of the giants of your land. It's time to get the giants out of your home and out of your mind and out of your thoughts. And it's time to think about the harvest. It's time to think about the land flowing with milk and honey. It's time to think about the bountiful blessings of God. Are there going to be giants that show up in your word? Sure. But there's going to be more blessings than there are giants in your life. David made conscious effort that he never called Goliath a giant, because David understood it don't matter, amen, how big he is. It doesn't matter how tall he is. I know this is simplistic tonight, but stay with me. Doesn't matter, amen, amen, how big the adversary is in his life. He understood, I'm not going to measure him up to a giant, because really when I go and march against him, I'm going to be victorious, because I'm not marching in there with my own abilities, and I'm not marching in there on my own accord. But amen, when David, amen, began to respond back to the Goliath or to the giant, he tells him, I come in the name of the Lord. I I want someone to understand here tonight, when you go back into your jungle and you go back into your Canaan land that fully hasn't been inhabited yet by God's people, and maybe you're going back to a home, amen, and you weren't raised in church as we talked about this morning, and you're going back into an environment, amen, that's not conducive for worship and praising God, and it seems like their giants are there, and it seems like they're going to put fear in your mind. Let me talk to some young people right now. Amen. When everybody else is doing everything but living for God, and it seems like giants are all around, I want you to know tonight, you got to look at that giant and say, I don't come to you in my own accord, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. I've got the Spirit of the Lord upon me. I've got a purpose and a destiny on my life. And I'm going, can I preach to someone tonight? I'm going to be victorious. I know we've touched on it some in this revival, but I feel like preaching on it again tonight, that we've got to get it in our soul that we're a child of the King, and we don't have to walk around defeated, and we don't have to walk around with our head down and our tail tucked between our legs, but we got to walk around being victorious and have a fight in our spirit and say, devil, we're not giving in that easy. We're not giving in, or we're not throwing in the towel, but we're going to be victorious. Why? Because we come in the Spirit of the Lord. We got the Spirit of God upon us. I don't come in my own strength. I don't come in my own stature. I don't come in my own height, but I've got the Word of God in my life, and I come, greater is He that's in me than he that's in. I've got the Spirit of God in my life. I believe that giants, amen, are employed by the adversary. They know how to frustrate you. They know how to steal the promises of God. They know how to destroy your life. They know how to, amen, some of your giants could be fear or insecurities or infirmity or sickness or debt or depression or worries or anxiety or stress or family problems. You fill in the blanks. Amen. Your giants, amen, may look different than the giants that I face. Your giants that you, amen, come up against may be different, amen, than what across the pew, across the aisle, amen, a saint of God's going through. But every one of us at one time or another is going to have a giant in our life. Amen. But the only way we can get our hopes up, amen, and get our focus, amen, is get our mind off of the giants. If we study out grasshoppers, amen, we can see that grasshoppers, as they have strong legs but very fragile arms, and it is able to leap to get out of trouble, and it can leap 20 times its own body size. This is how it survives, by leaping out of the way of its predators. They come in three colors: brown, they live on the ground; green, they live on plants; sand color, they live on the beach. And they always try to blend in to their environment. They always try, amen, to be, amen, on the run. And they're never, amen, working on the offense, but they're always on the defense. And they want to, amen, they want to blend in to the environments that they live in, because they really just want to exist. I've been with people of God that really all they want is just to exist. The problem is, when you live in that mentality, the first time the adversary really comes in your life, it's obvious that you're going to be destroyed, because you're just trying to exist. And when compromise comes, you just move out of the way, because you don't want to be, you just don't want to be, amen, too pushy. And you don't want to say anything, because, amen, you got a grasshopper mentality. And if this changes, well, you'll just blend into the environment, and you'll just become like everybody else. No, when you get your mind off of grasshopper mentality, grasshoppers, amen, you can study it out, they don't eat grapes. Amen. Grasshoppers never, amen, have ever tasted of a grape. And you say, preacher, that sounds corny and funny, but I want you to know tonight, as long as you've got a grasshopper's mentality, you're never going to taste of the promises of God. As long as you're leaping out of trouble and leaping away from the fight and leaping away from the adversary, and leaping away, amen, from the real issues, you can play around tonight. and you can act like, amen, nothing's going on. You can play around in your imaginary lifestyle and act like you don't have no real issues. And you can come to church with a mask on your face with a permanent smile, but really, amen, be in trouble under the mask. Or tonight you can be real with God and real with yourself and say, God, I've got to have some of the promised land. God, I've been living in Egypt. I've been living in the wilderness. I've been living on the edge of the promise. I've got my eyes looking on the promised land, but I got my mind on Egypt. I'm telling someone tonight, it's time that you get your whole focus, that you get your whole desire, that you get your whole mindset on, we are going to conquer, amen, the promised land. We are going to cross over the Jordan River, and we are going to see what God's going to do in our life. The Bible tells us, amen, that Joshua, amen, now they've lived for 40 years, amen, hearing about, amen, the great grapes that they brought across there, that it took two men to hold one bushel of grapes. Amen, it was two men that carried them. I wonder tonight if it was Caleb and Joshua, amen, since the others, amen, were trying their best to avoid all the adversary that was there. But Joshua and Caleb, I believe, amen, had the bushel of grapes on their shoulders, and they just walked out and began to show them what was going on in the promised land. But now we understand, amen, Moses has passed, and Joshua, amen, is getting ready to finally enter into the promised land. And they had to go through 40 years of the wilderness because of ones that did not want to possess God's promise. Amen. And now he's there, and he begins to pray. The Bible says he comes to the Jordan River at harvest time, and it begins to overflow its banks. And what used to be, amen, a small little river, now, amen, is a dangerous plot. And if you walk in that river, you could be taken away by the current. And it was a very dangerous time of the year. And the Bible says that Joshua, amen, begins to pray, and he asks God for direction. And God begins to give him direction that he's to go, amen, and put this, amen, the priests to go and put their foot in the brim or the edge of the water. And God was going to show himself strong. Amen. But we can study it out. The Bible says that the water went from Adam all the way up to Adam to Zarephan. And you can study out, amen, that Zarephan and Adam, the city of Adam, amen, was 17 miles upstream, amen, from where Joshua would put his foot in the Jordan River. And the moment the priests would put, amen, their foot on the brim or the edge of the water, the Bible says that the water began to roll back, and they walked over on dry ground. You say, preacher, that's a phenomenal, amen, point. That's a great understanding, but you got to understand that the water stopped all the way at Adam, the city of Adam, at Zarephan, 17 miles upstream. What are you preaching about, preacher? I'm telling you that when Joshua made up his mind that he was going to step out, that 17 miles upstream, God was already stopping the waters, and God was already doing a miracle in their life. And even though the Jordan River was rushing over its banks and it looked like it was dangerous, God was already working on their behalf. But he just needed somebody to step out and to walk into the promised land that God had given them. Can I preach to someone here tonight? I feel like God's working a miracle 17 miles upstream. You can't see it right now, but the only prerequisite is you got to step out and step into the Jordan River, and you got to cross over into the promised land. Don't worry about the giants. Don't worry about the land that's there. Don't worry about the inhabitants. You've just got to step out and be blessed by God. I'm telling someone tonight, the Holy Ghost, you've been sitting on the edge, you've been looking at the promised land, but it's time you step out tonight in the Holy Ghost. It's time you move beyond your comfort zone. It's time you get out of your pew before the service is over and step into the promises of God, and let God fill you with the Holy Ghost, and let God change your world, and let God make you anew. I'm going to tell you what made the difference. amen, for Joshua. You know what made the difference for Joshua? Joshua had already tasted of the land. Thank you. I don't mind if I do. That's powerful. You see, Joshua and Caleb, amen, I carried those grapes, or somebody carried the grapes. And Joshua and Caleb have lived 40 years in the wilderness. Woo, that's a big grape. 40 years have gone on. And Joshua and Caleb still got their memories of old promised land grapes. Joshua and Caleb, they had the meeting with them. They sat in the congregation. They began to quiet them down, as the Bible said in their opening text, and told them, we can go and we should do it at once. But all the doubters, all the ones that didn't want, amen, the promise, all the ones that were distracted by the giants, amen, I don't know if they ever tasted the grapes, but we know, amen, for 40 years someone was talking about the grapes and telling them about the promises of God and telling them about all the good things. And Joshua and Caleb, amen, had it on their mind. Amen, I remember them big old grapes. I remember, amen, the promise. I remember what happens in the promised land. Can I talk to us tonight? You might have got me to backslide before I tasted of the promises of God. You might have convinced me that it wasn't worth it, living holy and separated unto God. But that was before I had promised land grapes. Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You might have convinced me it wasn't right and it wasn't worth it, leaving my life and coming to what the world called a cult and putting on holiness and, amen, and separation, let your hair grow out and becoming something in the kingdom. But that was before I had, promised land grapes. That's when I was still eating a bill of goods from the world. But once I got a hold of the promised land, my God, I feel like preaching in the house. Once I got a hold of the promised land grapes, I can't go back to tasting of the world anymore. You might have talked me out of a revival if I hadn't already been to the promised land. But honey, it don't matter how many giants are there. It don't matter how many adversaries are there. I'm about to have me some grapes. I'm about to have me a time of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to let the word of God be in my life. I'm going to feed off of the vine, the true vine, the only living. I want to encourage someone here tonight. The adversary wants to talk you out of church, talk you out of the kingdom of God. You remind him tonight, I've got promised land faith, and I've tasted of the grapes, and I've tasted of the goodness of God, and you wouldn't get me to turn back for nothing for my journey now. My God, I feel like preaching right now. Amen. You gave up cigarettes. You gave up drugs. You gave up alcohol. You gave up pornography. You gave up illicit lifestyle. You were an abuser. You were all those things. But God made a church out of you. God made a promise out of you. God, what's the devil got on the hand of God? He ain't got nothing on it, baby. Can I tell you tonight, you got the promises of God. I'm not going back to leeks and garlic. I'm not going back to manna. I'm going to go in to possess the promises. I'm going to go and be victorious. Okay. Bishop, you want to partake of the promises of God? I'm going to tell you, you get a hold of the promises of God, you'll never turn back. You get a hold of the promises of God, you'll never turn. You get a hold of the promises of God, you don't know what else. I don't have a taste for the world anymore. I got a taste for holiness. I don't have a taste for a cigarette anymore. I've got a taste for the word of God. I don't have a taste for pornography anymore. I've got a taste for the... Why? Because I've tasted of the fruit. Because I've tasted of the promised land. Because I've tasted of how good taste and see that the Lord is God. I wish I had a victory report in the house. I wish I had a living testimony here tonight that would step out of your eye and say, I've got promised land faith. I've tasted it, and I'm never going back. Oh, come on, that's right. Don't let her run by herself. Somebody run with her right now. She got promised land faith. We got promised land. You say, preacher, you're hyping me out. Well, you had a hype man in the world. I want to hype you up in the Holy Ghost right now. You can go another 40 years if you want to. You can walk around the promised land and get discouraged all you want to. You can live in a desert place. You can live in a dry and barren place and not hear from God for 40 years. But I choose to go and have what the Word of God said I can have. Yes, I wasn't raised in... Yes, you may not have been raised in the church. Yes, you may be first generation, but I still want to preach to you tonight. You still got a promise, and you still got an inheritance of God. You may have backslid along the way, but the very fact that you're here tonight lets me know that you're trying to pursue the great mentality, and you're trying to get your mind off the giants, and you're trying to get your mind on the promise. Woo! You just let them enjoy the wilderness a little while. You just let it burn off of. Brother May, you think you need some grapes, man? You've been drinking something. Have to eat some. I've watched some people come into the house of God. You can stay where you're at because I'm almost done. I've watched some people come into the house of God, and they come in and their parents, amen, didn't have nothing to do with God, and they didn't fight them none until they started living for God. Now all of a sudden they want to try to drag them out of the church and drag them into sports and drag them into Hollywood and drag them into this world. Hey, can I talk right now? Y'all might not have this in Georgia, but Brother Frost, it's hotter. It's hot in South California, let's just put it that way. And you got Grandpa, and Grandpa has a shirt unbuttoned about to here, and he dyes his chest in San Diego. Looks like burnt taco meat. And he's rolling around cruising. Hello. Lean like a cholo, that's what they say in California. And they're having a good old time. Oh, I feel like preaching around, having fun. And Grandma, amen, looks like a teenager. She done borrowed her little granddaughter's clothes. Y'all sit down. You don't have that in Georgia. No. I'm telling you, amen, and they look like a hot mess. But you start living holy, and they'll start tearing you down. But you put on a suit and tie, and all of a sudden, oh my goodness, what has happened to their life? They've just lost their mind. They just conformed to that religion. No, you don't understand. When I was out in the world, that's when I was out of place. Before I got the Holy Ghost, that's when my life was a mess. No money could suffice. No relationship could fix the emptiness that you felt. No drugs could get you high enough. But something happened when you came to God and you got a taste of His meat and you got a taste of the promised land. You'll never be the same way. You can't go back to the club if you wanted to. You can't go back to that environment. Your speech will betray you. Your attitude. You've got the Holy Ghost. Tell you who I'm after tonight, and I'm gonna spend a lot of time, stay where you're at, but I'm after some people that's been struggling with the Holy Ghost. Come on. I mean, I'll be preaching to everybody tonight. Amen. I'm preaching to everybody at one point or another, but I really feel in the Holy Ghost there's some people that have been struggling. Amen. And I'm gonna tell you tonight, it's not a sin to struggle.
No, it's not, brother.
Hello? It's not a sin to struggle.
Right.
It's a sin when you quit struggling and you give up. You're struggling to live for God? Hallelujah. You're still trying. You're struggling to pray? Join the crowd, honey. So am I. And we're still going to pray. Hello? You're struggling, amen, to fit in? Well, we can't help you in that department. Because I'm still trying, Brother Daniel, and it ain't happened yet. You're struggling? guess what? You're just trying to live for God. Your nature, your human nature is going to be at enmity with God for the rest of your life. But the only way you can overcome that is kill the flesh. The only way you can overcome that is feed the spirit. The only way you can overcome that is keep coming to the house of God day in and day out. Revival in, revival out. Amen. Guest preacher, pastor preacher. Amen. Event, whatever. You got to get it in your spirit. I got to have more of the house of God. I can't go back to my old nature. I can't feed my old flesh, but I've got to be renewed daily. How do you do it? You get back in prayer. You get back in fasting. You get back to the fruit of God. You get back to the vine, the true vine. Amen. And taste and see. You got it better now than you have ever in your life. I don't care what job you lost, you got it better now. I don't care what girlfriend you lost, you got it better now. I don't care what wife, hey man, isn't going to live for God right now, you got it better right now than you did when you were in a perfect marriage. Hello? She can still be saved, but you got it better right now if you're the only one living for God right now. Come on, I want to encourage a mama right now, because you're here tonight and your kids aren't here and you think, my God, I've lived for God all my life and my kids backslid. Is it still worth it? It's still worth it, mama, because you're looking at a backslidden preacher's kid, even that prayed back through to the Holy Ghost, because a mama never quit praying and a grandmama never quit praying and a pastor never quit preaching. I'll tell you, I didn't want to go back to dead old manna and dead old amen promise. I wanted to go back to the fruit of where God, I got the Holy Ghost the first time. I wanted to go back to the original experience. I wanted to go back to the real thing. I didn't want imitation. I didn't want to go to another synagogue. I don't care what they offered me. I had to get back to the apostolic church. And if you're here tonight and you've strayed away from this apostolic truth, or you're here tonight and you're a guest and you wonder why we're so excited and you think we have lost our mind, you're right, amen, but we're going to keep living for God. Because, amen, amen, as David said in one place, he said, if I'm in my right mind, I do it for your sake. He said, but if I'm out of my mind, it's unto God. In other words, he said, I'm going to get crazy for the things of God. And it doesn't matter if the world calls it normal. And it doesn't matter if the world calls it, amen, what it should look like. In the kingdom of God, it is normal. Let me help you right now, because the world, amen, look at their sitcoms. I began to study it out the other day, and you can look, amen, at all the television shows, amen, that come out. I began to read about what they entailed and what their depictions were, and you can find out that every one of them, number one, they were making fun of the male in the home, every single one of them. Number two, they were pushing homosexuality in every single one of them. Number three, they were showing kids under the age of 18 being promiscuous. Every single one of them seemed to have some type of genre war leading to the fact ever, amen, going on in Hollywood right now. And they'll paint their bodies. And they'll get a tattoo, my brother, when they're 17 years old. And by the time they're 47, that little bird or butterfly turned into a dragon. And they'll still go to the ball games, and they'll still paint their bodies, and they'll still, amen, scream and shout and dance. And they call us abnormal. Let me help somebody tonight. If this is abnormal, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you think I've lost my mind, honey, you ain't seen nothing yet. You don't know what my testimony is. You don't know what fruit I took forever. You don't know where I came from. I came out of the muck of the mire, and God changed my life. Don't expect me to be silent. Excuse me while I have a praise. Don't feel sorry for me because I don't drink. Don't feel sorry for me because I don't go to the club. Don't feel sorry for me because I don't dress promiscuous. Don't feel sorry for me because I'm not putting my life on Facebook. Honey, I choose to live for God. I choose to shout and dance. I choose to have joy. I choose to have victory. I choose to be victorious. Why? Because I've got my pimp to the promised land, and I'm not leaving for anybody. wish I had some people right now that would slip out of your pew and walk down to this front with your hands up and be victorious in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, would you slip out right now? Help me right now. We need to conquer some things in the Holy Ghost. We need to come after some giants right now. Some of you need to get some great mentality. You need to taste and see that the Lord is good. Some people have been struggling right now. Come on, slip out of your house. Be honest with yourself right now. Nobody's judging you. We're all struggling. We're all going through right now. But tonight we're going to be victorious. Tonight we're going to hold the grace. Tonight we're going to hold the promises of God. We're going to taste and see that He's good. Don't let your family talk you out of this apostolic truth. Don't let anybody talk you out of your relationship with God. You've tasted and seen. And tonight, if you never had the Holy Ghost and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, before you leave this house, you can taste and see before you leave and be filled with the Spirit of God.
Victoria!